بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد, so just to recap, we are on the second part of the Battle of Uhud. So last time we spoke about the Battle of Uhud and how the battle transpired and how it came into existence. So to begin with a quick recap, we spoke about how the Quraysh, they set off from Makkah Mukarramah with an army of 3,000 individuals. And Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam of their plan. And also how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam held a meeting with the Sahaba and they did mashura. And they consulted, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam consulted the Sahaba and they decided, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam decided that they would confront the enemy in an open field rather than within the city of Medina Munawwara. And then we also spoke about how initially there was 1,000 men who marched out of Medina Munawwara in the Muslim army, and then later on Abdullah bin Ubay, the leader of the Munafiqun, he deserted the army with 300 of his men, and then there were only 700 of the Sahaba that were left. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam arranged the army so that the mountain of Uhud was behind them and Medina was in front of them. And we spoke about how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam positioned the archers on a small mound to protect the Muslim army. Okay. Then we also spoke about how there were duels between the Muslims and the non-Muslims, and altogether there were 22 duels, out of which 22 were won by the Muslims. Wahshi, he decides, who became radiallahu anhu later on, at this moment he decided to join the army to try and earn his freedom, and he did earn his freedom then by killing the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anha. He threw a spear at the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this martyred Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anha. And then the Quraysh, they start to flee the battlefield, and the Muslims, they become busy collecting the spoils of war. And the 40 of, from the 50 archers, 40 of the archers, they move from their position. And this allows Khalid bin Walid, who at that time was an radiallahu an, but later on became to be radiallahu an, and an amazing general of the Muslims. He gets the chance, the opportunity to attack the Muslims from around the mound and the hill. So this causes confusion, and this leads to quite a few casualties amongst the Muslims. So we left off there. Today we speak about Mus'ab ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu first. Mus'ab ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was the standard bearer of the Muslims. He was martyred as well. And he resembled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay. So when he was martyred, the individuals around, they thought that they had, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had been killed. So there was some confusion on the battlefield at that point. And if we look at the battlefield here, we see this was the same map that we showed last time. The Muslim archers was positioned towards the right. The Muslim army was coming from the north, and then the Quraysh were coming from the south. And we see how in between that gap was where the battle was taking place. And when the archers moved, then they allowed Khalid bin Walid to go around the mountain and attack the Muslim army. So we see how here, this is the sort of summary of what actually happened at the Battle of Uhud. And then here we see the picture of, or a bird's eye view of Jabal Uhud. And this is the whole mountain of Uhud, and we see how there are quite a few peaks and valleys, and there are quite a few peaks across the mountain. And you can see the other areas as well, okay, within the battlefield. So during this moment, when there was confusion, there was some panic amongst the Sahaba, and 14 companions, they stayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 7 were from the Muhajirun, and 7 were from the Ansar. So Abu Bakr radiallahu an, Umar radiallahu an, and we can see the list there of all the Muhajirin who were there, and all the Ansar, Abu Dujana, Habab ibn Manzar, and various other of the Sahaba, they were there. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala, whose name is not mentioned here, because he had been given the flag, the standard, and he was busy in fighting the non-Muslims as he had the standard, right? The flag bearer. And sometimes some of the protectors would have to go for some reason and then they'd come back. But there were 12 companions, and then sometimes there was as less as 7 companions as well, sometimes because others would go and then come back. And there are differing narrations in terms of how many there were. And how we reconcile is that sometimes some Sahaba would go and then they would come back. So at that point there was a differing number of how many Sahaba were protecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there was always somebody protecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So at this point as well, we have a story that's mentioned in Sirat ibn Ishaq. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, who is the man who will sell himself for me? So Ziyad ibn Sakan and 5 Ansar, they stood up, and one after the other they fought until they were all martyred. And when Ziyad ibn Sakan radiallahu anhu fell down from his wounds, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, bring him to me. The Sahaba brought him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and at that point he passed away. And this was the fact that they were, the Sahaba, they were such individuals that their love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so high that they were willing to give their lives for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the Battle of Uhud in terms of the way that the Sahabas sacrificed their life for the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we have the injuries that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through in this battle. Utbah, who was the brother of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu had a brother called Utbah. And Utbah was fighting on the side of the Quraysh, and he threw a stone at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which hit the blessed mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost one of his teeth, and his bottom, he bled from his bottom lip. And then there was another individual, Abdullah ibn Qami'ah. He was a famous wrestler from the Quraysh. He attacked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that caused 2 links from the chain, from the arm of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to go into the blessed cheek of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala pulled out those links of the chain from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face with his own teeth. And this led to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala losing his own teeth. By doing this, he lost his own 2 teeth. Again, the sacrifice of the Sahaba. And Abdullah ibn Shihab, he threw a stone at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which injured the blessed forehead of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was all, you know, at the time when the Muslims were now on the back foot. So they were on the front foot, but then one move from the archers led to the fact that the battle changed, the dynamics of the battle changed. The Quraysh came out on top, in terms of they were on top now. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing 2 coats of armor, and due to the weight of this and also the injuries, he fell into a ditch. So at that point, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu took his hand, Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they both supported him and helped him to come back onto his feet. He was injured. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was injured. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said at that point that whoever wishes to see a living martyr, he should look at Talha radiallahu anhu. Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu then helps Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to climb the mountain. Again, due to the weight of the armor and the condition, it was difficult for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu helped him. And then whilst Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu was doing this, he received 35 or 39 wounds on that day. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, "Kana dhalika al-yawm kulluhu li Talha." This one day was just for Talha. And another companion, Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, mentions that at that time he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that Talha has made Jannah wajib on himself. So this was the sacrifice that Hazrat Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu made for our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we see how Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Abu Talha, they were both skilled archers. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that day took all the arrows out of his own quiver and gave it to Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And it said that, it's mentioned in one of the narrations that on that day Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu shot 1,000 arrows. And Abu Dujana, he was also a very brave companion. He stood in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he put his back towards the enemy and the arrows kept coming. Okay? And they landed on his back, but he didn't move because of the concern he had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he got injured himself, but he made sure that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never got injured. So this was the bravery of the Sahaba. So previously we mentioned today that Mus'ab ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who resembled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had been martyred. and he resembled Rasulullah. So people thought that it was Rasulullah. So this news started to spread around. Okay, and upon hearing this, some Muslims, they lost hope. They said that now Rasulullah has been martyred. What is the point of fighting? So the uncle of Anas ibn Malik, whose name was Anas ibn Nadhr, he stood up and he said, "O people, if Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been killed, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Lord has not been killed." Just to reiterate that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high and he'll always be high, he'll always be alive. So this was the time when now there was some concern. One of the main concerns of the Sahaba was that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they couldn't see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay. In the midst of the battle and the battle, you know, strengthening, they couldn't see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala recognized Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah had a helmet on, so his blessed face was covered to a certain degree, so he couldn't be recognized. So Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala mentions that I saw the sparkling eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So at that time, in a loud voice, he shouted, "O Muslim, glad tidings for you! This is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So at that point, Rasulullah ﷺ made and everybody heard Ka'b's words, and they gathered around Rasulullah ﷺ. And when Rasulullah ﷺ heard these words, he made a gesture with his hand to tell Ka'b to remain quiet, because he did not want the enemy to know that he was still alive. Because up until now, they thought that Rasulullah ﷺ, the enemy thought that they had martyred Rasulullah ﷺ. It's mentioned that then Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala wore the armor of Rasulullah ﷺ. And on that day, he suffered more than 20 wounds, because the enemy, they started to shoot arrows at him, because they thought that this might be Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They weren't 100% sure. They were in sort of 50-50. Has he been martyred? Has he not been martyred? Has he sallallahu alaihi wasallam been martyred or not martyred? So Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala took so many of the wounds by swapping the armor with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, as the Muslims, they started to make their way, they gathered around Rasulullah ﷺ and they started to make their way towards one of the valleys for protection. Abu Bakr radiallahu an, Umar radiallahu an, Ali radiallahu an, Talha radiallahu an, Harith radiallahu an, they were all there with him, with Rasulullah ﷺ. And then when Rasulullah ﷺ intended to climb up the mountain, he couldn't climb because of the weakness from his wounds and also because of the weight of the armor. So therefore, Talha radiallahu an sat on the floor and Rasulullah ﷺ placed his blessed foot on Talha radiallahu an and he climbed up. So in this, we see another view of the mountain of Uhud. It's 1,077 meters high. It's not just a single mountain. It's actually a range of peaks and valleys that we can see here. Then there was an individual whose name was Ubay ibn Khalaf. And he was a staunch enemy of the Muslims. And he always, in Makkah Mukarramah as well, before the migration, he always persecuted the Muslims, the weaker Muslims. In terms of social status. So Ubay ibn Khalaf, he came charging at Rasulullah ﷺ on his horse. Okay, and he had specifically fed this horse and made it big so that he could ride it and harm Rasulullah ﷺ. That was his intention. So when Rasulullah ﷺ heard this, he said, "Inshallah, I will put an end to him." When Ubay came close to Rasulullah ﷺ, the Sahaba, they sought permission to deal with him, but Rasulullah ﷺ said to him that let him come close. When he came close, Rasulullah ﷺ took a spear from Haritha ibn Sam'a and just touched him on the neck and made a small wound. Just a small wound. When Ubay felt this wound, he turned back screaming, saying that Rasulullah ﷺ has killed me. So small wound, but he turned around thinking that now I am dead. I'm finished, right, in that sense. So the people said to him that, you know, why are you making such a big deal about this small wound? It's not even something that's going to, you know, you can't even see the wound almost. It's a very small wound. So he said that you don't know that Rasulullah ﷺ had said to me in Makkah that he would put an end to me, and only I know the pain this wound is causing me. He said, I swear by Allah, if this wound was to be shared around everybody in the, you know, all the people of Hijaz, then it would be enough for their destruction. So Ubay then reaches a place called Maqam Sarif, and there, saying these words, he died. And this was, you know, the words of Rasulullah ﷺ coming true. In terms of the prophecy of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, again, once again, from all the prophecies, this one also was shown to be truthful. And Ubay ibn Khalaf knew as well. And they all knew as well that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was truthful. So, Dhuhr Salah, when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reached the valley, so now the Muslims, they have, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has gone up into one of the valleys, as we saw the whole range of the mountains, goes up into one of the valleys with the other Sahaba, and the fighting stops, and the Muslims retreat. So in reality, there is no real winner as such, and there is no real loser. At one point, the Muslims were winning, at one point, the non-Muslims were winning. And the fighting now stops. Rasulullah ﷺ sits down. Ali radiallahu anhu got some water, washed the blood off his blessed face, and then put some water on Rasulullah's head. Rasulullah then performs wudu, and then he led Zuhr Salah while sitting down. And the Sahaba also read behind him while sitting down. Okay? So from this also, there's also masail that come in terms of reading namaz behind an imam who is sitting down. Is this permissible? Is it not permissible? There is ikhtilaf between ulama in terms of whether a person should sit down or can a person read behind who is sitting down. So this is what the ulama have discussions in relation to. Okay. The Quraysh, now the mushrikeen, then they started to do some things such as mutilate the bodies of the fallen martyrs. Okay. They would cut off how would they mutilate the bodies? They would cut the ear, the nose, and rip open the belly and take out the organs. This was complete ignorance. But they would do this because this was the way of their forefathers. And the women also joined them. So there was a lady in the Battle of Badr, Utbah, he'd been killed by Hamza. And Utbah's daughter, Hind, she wanted revenge for the death of her father. So she mutilated the body of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anh. She ripped open his stomach and chest and took out the liver and also started to chew on it as well. So you can imagine how much ignorance there was at that time. And Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anh, who was the one who had been killed by Wahshi. So Wahshi, from Hinda, she gave Wahshi the jewelry that she had to honor him because he had martyred Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anh. So Abu Sufyan, see, Wahshi was the same person then. He becomes a Muslim, and we mentioned this previously as well. And then, later on, at the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, when there is the battle, the fierce battle between Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, Khalid bin Walid, who was under the deputation of Abu Bakr radiallahu an, and Musaylama Kadhab. Musaylama the liar, who was the false prophet, who had a huge army. Wahshi is the one who then kills Musaylama Kadhab, and he sort of after killing Hamza radiallahu an, after Islam, he wants to overcome that and do something in favor, in positivity. So he's the one who kills Musaylama Kadhab, and that's another whole part of history. So Abu Sufyan then, at this point, he climbed onto a mountain and he shouts out at the top of his voice, "Is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam still alive in you people?" So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told everybody not to answer, to remain quiet. Abu Sufyan calls out three times, and each time he gets no answer. And then he asks the question, "Is the son of Abu Quhafa?" Abu Quhafa was the name of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's father. "In you people, is he alive?" So again, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructs the Sahaba to remain quiet. So they remain quiet. And then after some time, Abu Sufyan, he calls out, "Is the son of Al-Khattab?" Meaning Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn Al-Khattab. "Is he alive?" Again, three times he gets no answer. So each time he receives no answer. So Rasulullah ﷺ told the Sahaba at this point to remain quiet. And there was some wisdom in that. At that point, there was some wisdom in that. In terms of not answering every single thing that anybody asks. That's also something which is a skill and an important aspect to understand. Then Abu Sufyan, when he doesn't receive an answer, he became happy and said to his people that, all of these people have been killed. If they were alive, they would have definitely answered. They would have definitely answered. So Umar radiallahu anhu could not bear it any longer, so he said, "O enemy of Allah, Ya Adu Allah, by Allah you have lied. Allah has still kept for you what will cause you to despair." So Umar radiallahu anhu shouts this out loud. Then Abu Sufyan, he calls out one of the names of the idols. He says, "U'lu Hubal, U'lu Hubal," which means, "O Hubal, you have been elevated." He's praising one of his gods, Hubal. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Umar radiallahu anhu to reply, "Allahu A'la wa Ajal." That know that Allah is most elevated and superior. So Abu Sufyan then shouts out, "Inna lana al-Uzza wa la Uzza lakum." That for us is an idol called Uzza, and you don't have an Uzza. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Umar radiallahu anhu to shout out, "Allahu Mawlana wa la Mawla lakum." Allah is our Mawla, our protector, our friend, and you have no Mawla. You have no friend or protector. So Abu Sufyan then, so this is happening whilst the Muslims are in the valley, and the Quraysh are in the battlefield and they are leaving, or they are there still doing what, you know, they were doing in terms of mutilating the bodies. So then Umar radiallahu ta'ala, so Abu Sufyan then says at that point that this day is an answer to the day of Badr, so we are now both equal. They claim victory at that point. So Abu Sufyan, he says that this is now, you know, an answer to the day of Badr, because we lost that Badr in the Battle of Uhud, we have won. So Umar radiallahu anhu says that we are not equal. There's no equality between us. Our matters are in Jannah, yours are in Jahannam. And then after a while, Abu Sufyan makes Umar radiallahu anhu swear an oath and asks that has Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has he been killed? So Umar replies, I swear by Allah, no. And indeed, he is listening to your words at this moment in time. So Abu Sufyan then said that you are more truthful to me. And after a while, he said that, then Abu Sufyan then acknowledges the fact that his people have mutilated the bodies of those people who have martyred. And he says that, I swear by Allah, I am not happy with it, nor am I sad about it. I didn't forbid it and I didn't command it as well. And then whilst he goes away, he says out loudly, I promise you that we will fight you next year in Badr. So Rasulullah ﷺ then said that, yes, it is a promise between us and you if Allah wills. So we have to understand again, to reiterate, the dynamic was such that the Quraysh were trying to destroy the Muslims. They wanted to destroy the Muslims and they wanted to end the existence of Islam from the Arabian Peninsula and from the world. So when they were attacking, this was a defensive struggle in terms of, at this moment in time, to protect the interests of the Muslims and obviously the mission that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came with. So there's a narration that after the Quraysh, the army left, the women from Medina came to see what the condition of the Muslim army was. So in this hadith in Bukhari, it mentions how the helmet of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had broken on his blessed head, and how his face was bleeding, his front tooth had been broken. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu brought the water in his shield. Okay, وعلي بن أبي طالب يسكب الماء بالمجن فلما رأت فاطمة أن الماء لا يزيد الدم إلا كثرة أخذت قطعة من حصير. Then they saw that the blood wasn't stopping. So Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she got a mat, burnt it, and she used the ashes, placed them on the wound, and that stopped the blood. فأحرقتها وألسقتها فاستمسك الدم. The blood then stopped. So it speaks about in the narration what injuries Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam suffered in the Battle of Uhud. Then we have Sa'd ibn Rabi'. So Sa'd ibn Rabi' radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when the Quraysh army they left, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Zayd ibn Thabit to go and look for Sa'd ibn Rabi' radiallahu anhu in the battlefield to see what happened to him. So he said that if you find him, then convey my salams to him and say to him, how do you find yourself at this moment? So at that point, Zayd ibn Thabit goes, the scribe of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes, and he finds Sa'd ibn Rabi', and Sa'd ibn Rabi' was still alive. He still had some life in him. He had around 70 wounds on his body from arrows and swords. Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu conveys the salams of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's message is conveyed. And then Sa'd ibn Rabi', he answers when asked that how do you find yourself on the instruction of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says that peace be on Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and upon you as well. Tell him, O Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, at this time I am smelling the fragrance of Jannah. And he said a few other words, and then afterwards, his soul left his body. So the Sahaba experienced the fragrance of Jannah whilst in their final moments. Whilst in their final moments. And we hear about our pious predecessors. They also experience in the final moments, they smile, or they give an indication that the angels are coming for them, and then they pass away. And then their soul is taken. So that's what kind of death that we should be hoping for. And we should be working towards. That when we die, we will be able to see the angels. And if they are angels who are of a good countenance, they look well, then we will know that we have been successful. But if, Allah save us, there are angels which are scary looking, then this means that we have a tough time ahead. So when we are now working towards our end, and we think about death, and when we reckon and we think about the fact that the final moments, we should be thinking that we want a death whereby the angels come, and when they come, they have a special countenance, and we want them to come and take our soul. That we look forward to meeting our Creator. So this is something that we need to work towards. This is something that we need to think about. How are we going to achieve this? Rasulullah, so Zayd ibn Thabit returns back to Rasulullah and he informs him about Sa'd radiallahu anhu. And then Rasulullah makes dua, may Allah have mercy on him. He was loyal and well-wishing for Allah and His Messenger in both this, in his life and death. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set out to search for his uncle, his beloved uncle. And he finds him in the middle of the valley. And he finds that he is in a bad state. His body is desecrated. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is filled with emotion. And then there's a narration which Jabir radiallahu ta'ala narrates. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whilst crying profusely, Sayyidu shuhada'i inda Allah yawm al-qiyamati Hamza. That the leader of all the martyrs by Allah on the day of Qiyamah is Hamza radiallahu anhu. And on the day of judgment, that means that with Allah, the king of all, the leader of all the martyrs will be Hamza radiallahu anhu. And we remember as well in the khutbah of Friday as well, when we mention Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala in the khutbah. And then Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu an, he was also martyred. And there were many sahaba that were martyred. And there's a story that's mentioned that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, he mentions this story that on the day of Uhud, before fighting started, Abdullah ibn Jahsh, he called Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala to one side and said to him that let us go to a place alone and let's make dua and say ameen to each other's dua. And we know that when we make dua for our brother, then an angel says ameen and there's a blessing in making dua together at certain points. So they go, and Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asks for victory over the enemy, and Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu ta'ala anhu asks for martyrdom. So we should bring this practice as well, whereby we make dua for our brother, or our sister, or whoever it is, our community. We make dua, and we take out time to sit and make dua. 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day. And sometimes we make dua in a manner where we don't even raise our hands, we close our eyes and we make dua in our heart. Just close our eyes, face towards the Qibla, in our heart, make dua. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of our needs. Because Allah ta'ala can hear whether we say it loudly or whether it's in our heart. Ma tukhfi sudur, what the heart conceals, Allah ta'ala knows that as well. And this will increase our connection with Allah ta'ala. So increasing our dua, increasing our dua for not just ourselves, but the ummah, for our akhirah, for a good death, all of these things are part and parcel of our deen. So they made the dua, both of the dua was accepted. And then Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala mentions that when he saw Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu in the evening, he saw that how his nose and ears had been cut off. So this was the dua of Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu ta'ala. And many other sahaba were martyred on that day. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Haram, about whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the angels were covering his body. Amr ibn al-Jamuh, he had been excused from the battle, but he still went, and he still goes and takes part with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that it wasn't fard upon him, and he said to his sons that what is the problem if you don't stop him? May Allah ta'ala, maybe Allah ta'ala will grant him martyrdom. So Amr radiallahu anhu goes and he doesn't return. Then we have Khaythumah radiallahu anhu, whose son Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when they were going to go for his son Sa'd had been martyred in the battle of Badr. His son Sa'd had been martyred in the battle of Badr, and in the battle of Badr they drew lots. So the father and son, they draw lots to see who's going to go to the battle of Badr. And Sa'd's name came, and Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala, Sa'd ibn Khaythumah goes to the battle of Badr, and that's where he is martyred. Khaythumah radiallahu anhu, he saw Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala in a dream, and in the dream he saw that he had this beautiful appearance, and he was going around the gardens and the rivers in Jannah. His son was going around the gardens in Jannah. And then he said to his father Khaythumah in the dream, "Oh father, you come here as well. We will both live in Jannah together." So he sees the dream. And then Khaythumah, he told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he has gone old now. His bones have become weak. Now I wish that I meet my Lord. So he said that, "Oh Messenger of Allah, do dua, make dua to Allah Ta'ala that I get martyrdom and I get to meet Sa'd in Jannah." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua for him, and he then is martyred in the battle of Uhud. Now in Medina Munawwara, the news reaches of the battle, what's happened. The people in Medina are concerned, specifically concerned about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're more concerned about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than their own relatives. And again, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala narrates that there was this woman, an Ansari woman, who Rasulullah passed by, and the Ansari woman, her husband, brother, father had all been martyred in the battle. When she was informed of their martyrdom, she said, first tell me how is Rasulullah. So the reality was that their love for Allah and his Rasul was far greater than anything else. Their love for Allah and his Rasul was far greater than anybody else and anything else. So she was worried about Rasulullah. So the people then tell her that Rasulullah is alhamdulillah well. So the woman says that, show me his blessed face. When I see him with my eyes, I will be at peace. So then she showed, they show her that there is Rasulullah, he is fine. So then she says, kullu musibatin ba'daka jalal, that every calamity after you is trivial, insignificant. So Sahaba would console themselves just by looking at the countenance of Rasulullah. And individuals who lost their brother, husband, and their son, and their father, brother, husband, and father, just by looking at the countenance of Rasulullah, she would become consoled. And she says that kullu musibatin ba'daka jalal, that every stress, every hardship after seeing you is insignificant. So you can imagine what kind of individual Rasulullah was. Now the burial takes place, 70 sahaba were martyred. The condition of the sahaba at that time was such that they didn't have enough cloth for a proper kafan. And Musab ibn Umair, we know, and we've heard this many, many times, he was of a similar status at this moment in time, came from very a wealthy upbringing, and then left everything for the sake of Islam, and his story is a whole story in itself. And when he passed away then, and he was martyred, then at that point where, when his head was covered, his feet was uncovered. When his feet was covered, his head was uncovered. So finally, they are told by Rasulullah ﷺ to cover his head, and to cover his feet with a grass, a type of grass called idkhir. And that's what is used as the burial for Hazrat Musab ibn Umair radiallahu ta'ala. Hamza radiallahu ta'ala also it's mentioned in Tabrani and various other books that his state was similar to Musab ibn Umair radiallahu ta'ala. And some Sahaba, they never even had this privilege. Some Sahaba were buried in the same shroud. 2-3 Sahaba were buried in the same together. Multiple Sahaba were buried in the same grave. And at the time of burial, it was asked that who knew the most Quran from the two that were deceased, to differentiate. And whoever was pointed out, they would be buried closest to the Qibla in the grave, and the other individual would be buried behind them. So we understand the status of the person who has memorized some portion or any portion or all of the Quran, that they have a special significance in Islam and in the court of Allah Ta'ala. And then the order was given that they are buried without ghusl and in the state that they were in. And some people intended that they would take the martyrs to Medina and bury them there, but Rasulullah ﷺ said no and commanded that they should all be buried where they were martyred, where they were in terms of at the Battle of Uhud, in Uhud. And if you go to Uhud today, you can see where the martyrs are buried. There's a wall built around the graveyard, and if you look inside, you can see the location of some of the graves. That's what it's like where the arrow is pointed. That's the graveyard of the martyrs. And behind here is the mountain of Uhud. And also, the graveyard of the martyrs in Uhud is directly behind the Rawdah, meaning where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is buried. If you look, this is the map, and if you draw a line from where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is buried all the way back, you will see that there is a line, and it's in the same line. So the martyrs of Uhud are directly behind the grave of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at a distance. So, we today have gone through some of the sacrifices of the Sahaba. There are many sacrifices of the Sahaba, and we can't really understand and value these sacrifices until we read the seerah in detail and we understand who these individuals were, what they gave up. And we could probably discuss the sacrifices of one individual at length. Just one individual. But there were thousands of Sahaba who went through so much hardship so that deen could reach us today. So just to summarize now as we conclude today's session, we spoke about Musab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu being martyred and how he resembled Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, led to some confusion. The Sahaba protected the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many of whom were martyred. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also sustained some injuries, and we went through the narration of Bukhari. And then how the Muslim army moved itself into one of the valleys of Uhud, And then the Quraysh army, they mutilate the bodies of the martyrs. And we spoke about how Abu Sufyan went to inquire about the survival of Rasulullah ﷺ and his two closest companions. Abu Sufyan makes a promise that they were going to meet again in the following year in Badr. Martyrs of Uhud, total 70. The martyrs were buried in Uhud without ghusl, some in the same shroud, some in the same grave. And then we spoke about how the Quraysh had won the battle, but the Muslims lived to fight another day, in terms of the fact that this wasn't a defeat, that was an ending defeat. And we went through the Battle of Uhud over the last two sessions. Inshallah, in the next session, we'll be discussing the events that took place in the fourth and fifth years after Hijrah. So we've been going through the seerah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to appreciate the sacrifices of the Sahaba, the sacrifices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we should try and increase, you know, the number of durood that we read daily. If we're reading it 300 times, let's try and read it 400 times. Or 350 times. If we're not reading it at all, let's take out, you know, 10 times. Whilst we're walking home right now, or when we're coming to the masjid, we remind ourselves, you know, let's read durood sharif 10 times, 20 times. Why? Because this is a dua in favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the way that we can then show that we have connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah, this will then lead to us then becoming more connected and wanting to then follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if we follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what will we get in return? The love of Allah. And if we get the love of Allah, what do we get in return? Jannah. And if we get Jannah, what do we get? Eternal paradise. So the ultimate reality is that we have a mission and we have a goal and we have a name. And we are in this world with a mission. Like everything has a mission, we have a mission. And our mission is to gain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala and to do as we have been ordered through Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala increase our love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala allow us to develop the connection with Allah Ta'ala. And may Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant His true love. Ameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.